Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, so important. And your trade-in's never been worth more. Never been worth more. The service department, outstanding. I don't care whether it's inspections, what they're great at, or it's routine, which they're great at, or if you need something difficult, they're great at that too. It's just one-stop vehicle shopping all the way through for the life of that vehicle. That's why they have so many repeat customers. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Let's go to the complaint desk to open the show.
What's the temperature out there in Bloomington?
What is the temperature here? Let's see. What's the temperature here?
It's not as cold as it was in Iowa last week, was it?
It's currently 22.
Okay. So you're right about where we are right now.
It was below zero last night.
Okay.
So,
well, actually, I think we were close to it last night too. So, all right, you're not on the complete tundra. But the only thing my big complaint is today, and I told you this yesterday,
it's agony.
I love the argument of with Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Now that they're officially out of the Hall of Fame. Oh, he was a Hall of Famer before he took PEDs. Stop.
They're not out of the Hall of Fame. Okay, mix. There are other committees that can put them.
Right.
In.
Yeah. From the writers, that is.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, Gil Hodges and Minnie Minoso are going to the Hall of Fame. They weren't elected by the writers.
Right. But my biggest beef is the argument of, oh, they were Hall of Famers before they took PEDs. Okay. I don't disagree. They were. But then why take the PEDs? Why contribute to the darkest era in baseball? So they still did it. They cheated. You're out. It's not that hard.
Yeah, but how do you know they did?
It was proven.
By who?
By all the reports that were out there.
Where's the evidence in the reports? I'm not.
Not only that, all the testimony in front of Congress and everything else. It's not just the two of them.
I know, it's Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a lot of different people. But Bonds has never admitted taking it. Clemens hasn't.
Of course they're not going to, though.
There's a lot of circumstantial evidence. I'm just giving you a contrarian argument here. I'm not saying that you're wrong. But where's the concrete evidence of it? Now, the area where each one, the two of them barely got into the testing era, right? So, barely. So, when was Bonds out? 2007?
That sounds right, yeah.
Clemens was probably the same spot, right?
Correct.
Okay, 2007. So, they're both barely into the testing era. That's where, for example, let's take David Ortiz, where he's one of the 100 names in this pre-testing area. There's nothing, we don't even know what they were tested for, what was there, what substances, things like that. All I know is that from 2004 to 2016, so you're talking about 13 seasons, how many times did he test positive?
I don't think it was any.
Exactly. Zero.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Zero. All right. And last I checked, those were the greatest seasons of his life, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's why, you know, so even if you're taking that standard, okay, the problem is in a non-testing era, there are great suspicions about Bonds and Clemens. In a testing era, right, from 2004 to 2016, 13 seasons of that guy's career, he tested negative every single time. Right, so obviously the numbers he was putting up, which included three championships, he obviously was doing it clean. Right?
No doubt.
Okay, so that's so if you want to make an argument there, you can make that argument there. Now, this is always one of my favorite ones. Okay, why isn't Curt Schilling in? Curt Schilling is not in because, what, they're offended by tweets, they're offended by opinion. Okay, here's the standard I have. I think that Clayton Kershaw is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
In the seventh game of the World Series, who do you give the ball to? Curt Schilling or Clayton Kershaw?
In this case, I would go Schilling.
It's not even close.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not one of those where I'm like, oh, you know, I fought long and hard with myself as to who to give the ball to Game 7 of the World Series. I give it to Schilling every single time. Why? Because in this spot, he's proven to me over and over again with an 11-2 postseason record, that's the guy I want out there, as opposed to the guy that's 9-9 and has really struggled in his 9-9. I mean, but Kershaw's going to be a first ballot guy. And he should be, by the way. He should be. But if, you know, that's always the standard I use. Game 7 of the World Series. Which one of these guys do you give the ball to? I'd probably give it to him. Yeah, but he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, but I'd give him the ball, man. He's proven to me over and over again how good he is in that spot. Like, money's on the table. He's going to get me into the 7th or 8th inning, and I've got a chance to win. I mean, and yet he went down in the voting. Why?
Preaching to the choir. And that's why I also say, despite my opinions about Bonds and Clemens, the baseball writers need, this whole thing needs to be revamped, and the baseball writers need to have their credentials revoked. Because everything that's happened with Schilling is ridiculous. And not only that, too, and I don't necessarily know how you fix it, but to only have one, two, three handful of guys and call it your Hall of Fame class, I think that's a little embarrassing.
Well, that means, I mean, what it means is that Ortiz is the only one elected the last 2 years because nobody made the cut last year.
Right.
Okay.
Even more so.
Now you would know it for the simple reason that because of everything with COVID, the classes were combined this past year to go in. That's why they were individuals put in. Plus, you know, you have the Veterans Committee and you have the Today in Baseball Committee, a committee that I think is looking extensively and justifiably at the contributions of the Negro Leagues, which is great. So that's, those are all important elements in all this that do get other individuals in. I mean, Gil Hodges, in my opinion, should have been in years ago. Mini Minoso should have been in years ago. Who is it? Buck O'Neill. Buck O'Neill was finally put in. Buck O'Neill, you know, should have been put in years ago. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm for putting people in when they're still alive, where they can enjoy it, and not just their families. I mean, come on. That's what I, you know, that also enters into my thinking. Now, when it comes to Bonds and Clemens, I explained yesterday what I would do. I know there's a lot of rejoicing that they didn't get in. You know, I mean, you're in charge of the guillotine of hate. But I think there is something to, there's a distinction that is special that you're a first ballot Hall of Famer. Right. So to me, that's always been a distinction above all. Derek Jeter is a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Mariano Rivera is a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Now David Ortiz is a first-ballot Hall of Famer. There have been many players over the years that have been first ballot Hall of Famers in their lifetime that have all tremendously deserved it. And it's a special distinction. Even in the NFL, Peyton Manning's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Meanwhile, Jerome Bettis is a Hall of Famer, but it took him a few years to get in. Right? Now, if you're talking about, like, you know, you're putting two players together, who should be in, who, you know, and who should be out just on a, you know, I only have one vote, you're going to vote for Peyton Manning and not Jerome Bettis, right? But over time, eventually, Jerome Bettis gets in. Okay? All right. So they're both Hall of Famers. Just one, though, has the distinction of being a first ballot guy. And that's the same thing when it comes to baseball. I would have waited till year five, year six, then I would have started voting for them because, look, their performances were unbelievable over the course of their lifetime. And now you have a Hall of Fame, which is supposed to talk about accomplishments, which I understand that the, you know, a lot of these accomplishments appear to be tainted. And so that I understand. But you have the all-time home run leader, no. The all-time hit leader, no. And the only seven-time Cy Young Award winner, no, not in the Hall of Fame. It's really an interesting dynamic, isn't it? It really is. And as for the writers voting, I have no problem with the writers voting. I have none. I have no problem with that at all. But when I'm sitting there and I realize there are different guys that have different opinions, but broadcasters are covering games too, you know. What, because you write for a paper, you're, you know. I mean, I'll do the game tonight. Now, do I want Penn State to win? You're darn right I do. All right? But I vote for a lot of things. I vote for the Wooden Award. I vote for all Big Ten football, all Big Ten basketball, preseason, postseason, the whole thing, right? Do you think I'm fair the way I vote? You're darn right I'm fair the way I vote. I mean, I'm really trying to give somebody a fair shake as to how I go about it. And I'll watch video of somebody if I've somebody I haven't really seen a lot of just to make sure along the way. Offensive linemen are the most difficult to vote for. Basketball, preseason and basketball. I had to put 10 players down. Did I put a Penn State player down this year in the preseason basketball rank? No. I didn't. Okay? It's just a different year. Right? Thus, when I put Lamar Stevens first team, right, and made sure he was first team, you're darn right, he earned it because there's no doubt he was a first teamer just because he's a Penn Stater. Right? But I understand that it's important to be fair the entire time because what you give to one, you take away from another. Well, you know, am I taking it away from somebody more deserving? And I voted for a fair amount of Penn Staters this year on the All-Big Ten football ballot. You know, Jahan Dotson, I made, you know, I thought he was a first-teamer. I thought Jaquan Briscoe was a first-teamer. There's certain guys I made sure that I thought had great years. Right? Individually. Wooden Award. I've never voted for a Penn Stater on the Wooden Award. I never have. Okay? Now, I'm not allowed to have a Heisman ballot because I'm paid by Penn State. You know, that's what I've been told. The reason is I don't have one. But I've been told point blank, we know you would be fair, which I was very complimented. Somebody thought that. We know you would be fair. Okay. All right. But that's the whole thing. It's about, you know, so broadcasters can be fair. You're telling me Vin Scully doesn't know what a Hall of Famer looks like? Really? You don't think Joe Davis, who replaced Vin, by the way, wouldn't do a great job of voting? You don't think Tom McCarthy would do a great job voting? Scott Fransky wouldn't do a great job voting? What do you think? They're both going to go in there and go, okay, here we go. How many Phillies can I get in? That's not the way you think. That's not the way most broadcasters think. Do I want Penn State to win the game tonight? You darn right I do. Do I want John Herrod to have a big game tonight? Love to see that happen. Jalen Pickett, whatever. But guess what? If Indiana makes this great play, I'm going to say, hey, he made a great play. If they have to win in the game, I'll explain why they won the game, and I'll also explain what Penn State maybe didn't do and didn't swing their way. Right? It isn't going to be a we and us fest out there. I can objectively look at any game I do and look at individuals, and I can make evaluations. That's why it always bothered me, why broadcasters are not allowed to be voting for the Hall of Fame. What, because you're employed by the club? I'm like, what? I mean, Dan Shaughnessy didn't vote for David Ortiz. He voted for one guy. He voted for Jeff Kent. That's his prerogative. But you're going to tell me that Joe Castiglione's too prejudiced to vote for the Hall of Fame? He sees everybody in person. Right? Now, you can't vote for the Hall of Fame because you wouldn't vote for anybody.
I have high standards.
Well, obviously in marriage, that's been proven out, yes. We'll come back with more in a moment. She loves this show, doesn't she? All right, as we can...
She does.
See, I'm quick. Bailed you out at home again. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, good question I got asked on Facebook. It had something to do with your resignation. I don't know what that meant. But I'm just kidding.
Oh, my almighty!
But it's about whether the Big Ten will go to 8 conference games and schedule ACC or Pac-12. It's interesting. Scott Docterman on The Athletic will interview Gary Barta, the Iowa Athletic Director, about this very topic. They're going to at least discuss this as to whether they'll go to 8 conference games and whether or not they, which would then open the door in this alliance, which, of course, I just think is so awesome, to schedule a Pac-12 ACC team every year. So they're at least going to discuss it, Michael. I'm going to get into my opinion on it in the next half hour. T. Frank is on. We're going to talk quarterbacks at 4:06 today. More guillotine talk, by the way, coming up too with Matt, because everybody has their role in the show. Mike McDonald, defensive coordinator at Michigan, is apparently leaning toward going back to the NFL. And he's talked to John Harbaugh about going back, because obviously now Wink Martindale's out. So now he's talking about McDonald maybe going back to the Ravens.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. All with that Sunbury Motors guarantee, which is all important. Your trade-in's never been worth more, and a sales staff that does a great job of working with you. And a service department that makes this one-stop shopping, because they'll take care of the life of the vehicle. Inspections, phenomenal, routine, great, difficult. They take care of as well. It's why they have so much repeat business. They just have so many valued customers over the years, because customer service means everything. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at Lang. At our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to be with our good friend Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. Oh, sorry. No, not yet. Head of the guillotine.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want everybody either out or fired or not in Halls of Fame.
There you go. There's the high standards again.
Then why are you on this show? It just takes a little while to set up the jokes. All right. All right. So let's get to what Michael asked. And this is, again, Scott Docterman talked to Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta. He said they're going to talk about going to 8 conference games. They're going to talk about, you know, a Pac-12 ACC game in there as part of the alliance. Now, let's start with this. All of you know how I feel about this alliance. I sit there and go, what does the Big Ten need this for? Really? Okay. All right. But you also have to, you know, roll with what they decide to do. But before they decide to do anything, you're entitled to your opinion as to, you know, what you think about it. I'm not crazy about the Lions. Everybody knows that. So let's take this one step further. So let's talk about this in the realm of the college football playoff. The Big Ten and Kevin Warren evidently have been trying to get across the point that they feel conference champions should get in. Correct? I think we've outlined that. All right. So let's now take this one step forward. Dick Girardi and his brother just got here, so he's been texting me, so I apologize. Wanted to know how negative you were today. I texted him back, said you set new standards.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
All right. So, okay, 8 games. All right. The SEC and the ACC have never wavered off of 8 games, while the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the Big 10 have 9 games. So you do now, from a financial point of view, it's just pure numbers here for a moment. On pure numbers, one of the reasons you go to 9 conference games, or in basketball you go to 20, is pure inventory. You now have much greater control over your inventory of games. So, for example, Penn State's playing at Auburn this year. Well, Penn State, you know, the Big Ten and Penn State have no control on this. It's really, it's Auburn's call being the home team. All right? Whether it's on CBS, ESPN, whatever, you know, I mean, that's who they're dealing with. The Big Ten's out of that picture. Now, do they get a cut of the action? Yeah, because a Big Ten team is in the game. But it may not go to a Big Ten broadcast partner. It could go to CBS for all we know. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a possibility because that's their primary network, correct? Yeah. The game's not going to be on Fox. The game could be on ESPN, but it's not going to be on BTN, and it's not going to be on Fox. But it could go to a non-Big Ten broadcast partner, which could end up being a future Big Ten broadcast partner at CBS, we'll see. All right. So that's a game, for example, they don't control the inventory with. Okay. All right. So that's for the financial point of view. Scheduling a Pac-12 ACC game. Look, I have no problem with that because this Auburn thing. I know for Penn State, for example, it's another tough game in the early part of the schedule, and I got it. For the fans, though, there's some juice to it. I mean, Matt, you weren't at the Auburn game, but, you know, I mean, the fans thoroughly had a great night at that game. And when we had Peter King on, that week, Peter said, he says, Steve, you got it. First thing, I mean, we didn't even get to the pro football conversation. Steve, tell me, what was it like being at that game?
Oh, no, said, no doubt.
Came through the, and that's because they played Auburn, right? The atmosphere for Ball State was really good, but it was Auburn, an SEC team. Well, believe me, when Penn State goes down to the Plains to play, oh, my goodness, they're going to eat that game up down there. They're going to love it. Okay? You know, so, yeah, the ability to cross over and maybe you play a USC, a UCLA, an Oregon, a Clemson, or, you know, but you also could end up with Syracuse or Pitt. Or, you know, you don't know who you're going to end up with. You don't know. Hey, great, we got Washington State. All right. Really? Okay. That's great. Let's go to Pullman. I'll take you with us. You want to know why I take you with us? Because you complain the whole time. All right. Why are we in Pullman? All right. You don't know who you're going to end up with. Right? You know. But it's there as a possibility. So now let's go to the no divisions part of it. Right? Because going to 8 would give you more options, especially if an ACC Pac-12 deal is in the mix. Okay, so it does give you more flexibility on your non-conference. No question about that. Now let's get to the idea of no divisions. If the Big Ten is so keen, as they indicated, right, about conference champions only. Okay? There has to be a standard, which I talked about 2-3 weeks ago. Didn't I bring this up about maybe you have to have a standard, you have to have at least 8-9 wins to be in?
That's correct.
For the playoff? Okay. So let's give you an example that is not out of the realm of possibility, but it would be possible. All right? So whomever it is from the East that gets in, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, whomever, is going to have probably a great record because obviously the programs have proven. So they, let's just say they have 11 wins, okay? But in the West, we'll pick Northwestern because it's not like Northwestern over the years. I mean, they're non-conference. They've lost a lot of non-conference games. So I'll pick them deliberately for that reason. Northwestern goes 0-3 in non-conference games, but then goes 6-3 in the conference, with all 6 wins being against the West, all 3 losses against the East. Follow me so far? So they're 6-6, but say they're 6-3 and they're tied with whomever at 6-3 because they beat everybody in the West. They've got the tiebreaker over everybody. They get in at 6-6. What if they have the game of their life? And in Indianapolis, win, and at 7-6, they win the conference championship. Do they deserve the automatic bid? If you eliminate divisions, you now probably have an 11-1 team against at worst a 10-2 no matter what. Or you might have 2 11-1s, but at worst, you might have a 11-1 against a 10-2. So the winner of that game could be either 11-2 or 12-1. There's your conference champion, and they're going to be in, and they would get a bye in the system. Now, if you have a number, how many wins you need to actually be in it, at 7-6, you now forfeit your conference champion. See where I'm going here with this? If you are so dead set on conference champions being in, and I think there might be a caveat on the minimum number of wins you need to get in, considering how limited the playoff is. You know, this is with 12. I'm not talking about 4, I'm talking about 12. You might have to consider eliminating divisions because for that particular reason. Now, I'm just giving you wild scenarios here. But that is at least one to, in an open discussion room, discuss it. Now, I don't like how the Big Ten schedules anyway, as you know, when it comes to football. Basketball's fine. I mean, I don't mind how basketball schedules. The only thing I don't like about the way basketball's scheduled is that you got to figure out how to make Saturdays an important day in college basketball. You can't just keep putting games willy-nilly all over the place, you know, because I know you got TV partners and the whole thing. But, I mean, Penn State, you know, Iowa has no more Saturday games the rest of the season. None. They had their one Saturday Big Ten game last Saturday with Penn State. Penn State had its one Saturday game with Purdue on January 8th. Michigan State's got six. You know how many Illinois has this year? Guess how many Saturday games Illinois has this year? They're the conference leader, by the way. How about none? Illinois ended up with zero Saturday games this year at home. Really? But Michigan State got six. So, I mean, that part of basketball scheduling I don't agree with. But how they go about it with seven home and aways and 6-1 plays, I think it's terrific. I think that's terrific. That's why going to 20 didn't bother me in the least. I thought, okay, it's more home and away opportunities. Great. Where football fails to me is, look, if you're a conference, be a conference. Why does Penn State play Iowa every year? I mean, I sort of get what the concept is. You know, over the 20 years, they've got comparable records and blah, 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 and it's kind of like an informal crossover game. All right? Okay, so I understand the concept, but I also think it's just not the way to do it. I'm sorry, if you're a conference, guess what? You know, there's going to be inequities when you're in divisions as to who's playing whom. All right? There are going to be inequities. It's just the way it is. But you've got the six teams you play on your side all the time. So that part's consistent. But you should be playing, just pick it, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, right? 2 years, eventually, you know, in the 2 years you play each home and away, right? Then in the next cycle, years 3 and 4, it's Purdue, Northwestern, Illinois. Okay? Great. Home and away. Take care of it. Purdue, Illinois, Northwestern, home and away. Right? So now you're into 4 years, and you've played everybody on the other side except for one team, home and away. I'm trying to think, who the heck did I leave out in the West? I had Illinois, Northwestern, Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska. Oh, I left out Iowa. Okay? So you start the third cycle with Iowa and then go back to, I don't know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, whatever. But that way, the players end up, if they end up staying in the transfer portal, who knows, but the players that are there 4 or 5 years, which most of them actually are, you end up playing everybody. And not only end up playing everybody, you end up playing, except for maybe one exception, in their stadium. That's a conference, don't you think? To me, that's the concept of conference play. See, the SEC doesn't do that. They play six games on their side, okay, and they're going to get more now. You're going to get 7 games, right? And then you have a crossover game. Alabama plays Tennessee third Saturday in October every year. Well, that means they once in a while play Florida, once in a while play South Carolina, once in a while play Kentucky. I mean, really? Or once in a while play Vanderbilt, whatever. Like, come on. Is that a conference? Doesn't feel like a conference to me. What about you guys? See, I just don't like how they go about some of this stuff. Now, you say what you want about the Big 12. Big 12 may not be the greatest standard of football in the history of man, but they do play everybody. Now, whether they're going to do that with the new additions and the subtraction and the additions to go back to 12, we'll see. But right now with 10, they play everybody. Big Ten actually did that in 83 and 84. They played a 9-game schedule where you played everybody. Pac-12 did that for a few years. You know, before they went to the Pac-12, they were the Pac-10. They played nine games. They played everybody. So you kind of feel like, you know, over the years, you end up getting a feel for playing everybody. To me, that's a conference, right? Right now, what you have is a concept of leagues, and there's a big difference between a league and a conference. See, that's the part that, you know, there are a lot of simple solutions here, and I think they make it overcomplicated. I feel like I'm in one of our staff meetings. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today in beautiful Bloomington, right? Where, by the way, they have declared tomorrow Matt Cotrillo Day. Right? You should see it, right? The court of Monroe County Courthouse down here. They've got a guillotine set up and everything. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
95 seconds to play. KD Johnson, couple crossovers. Trying to find a little bit of room. Goes strong to the basket. What a shot by KD Johnson. KD Johnson. Up and under. He's just taking it over the last minute. Three on the shot clock. KD trying to find a little bit of room. Gets it off at the horn. Won't go. Kessler. That won't drop. 1 second. Ball game. Auburn wins it. Oh, my goodness. What a finish.
Yeah, not well managed by Missouri at the end. That's the problem. I mean, the last time I saw something that poorly managed at the end was actually the last 5 minutes of our staff meeting. But that was it's a different story. You got like they hit a three, Missouri, with I think 35.6 to go to make it 55-54. So now you have a couple things to do here. Do you want to play it out, but it's going to leave you 6 seconds to go, essentially. And is that enough time to get the ball up the floor and make a play? Yes. Or you can elect to go for steals, play it, but then commit a foul and extend the game. Then you put the onus on Auburn to make free throws, and then the onus on them if they make both of them to then foul you if they don't want you taking a three-point shot. But at least tells you at that point what you need to do. So you're down one. What happened in that sequence was they put the shot up, and Walker Kessler got a piece of the rebound, then the ball got tipped out, and the clock ran out. In other words, Missouri never got the ball back. So, Auburn gets pushed to the wire, but Missouri, I think, made clock management mistakes or a clock management mistake in the final sequence there that, in the end, deprived them at least a shot of maybe going to overtime. But Konzo Martin and his crew, great game, playing well executed, and took Auburn to the brink as Missouri has struggled this year. T. Frank on football from On3.com next half hour. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.